May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Responding to our knowledge. And we chose prayers of the people for them too. So when we get to that, just notice one of the prayers in the prayers of the people today. It says, I ask your prayers for all who seek God for a deeper knowledge of Him. And that's what we want. We want that for ourselves and for all people to really want a deeper knowledge of God. And then the response from that. So also for Advent, you can call it Happy New Year, because it's a new beginning in the church year. You know, Happy New Year, we should have gotten like little twisted things and, you know, got some excitement. Actually, when the choir sings their anthem, I expect some foot tapping and some finger snapping, maybe some clapping, because it's a joyful Advent anthem. We could also call it a spring cleaning. Advent can be a spring cleaning. Spring cleaning, in other words, working on ourselves inside. Not forgetting to clean in the corners. Or maybe instead of sweeping things under the rug, pick the rug up, bring it outside, shake it, and clean the floor and put it back. Not leaving any little bit of cobwebs or dirt or anything left in us. Cleaning up our act for Jesus this Advent. Then we could also call it a harvest time. Because once we have knowledge and love of the Lord, once we're responding, once we clean up inside and try to do our best, we're not perfect, but we try to do our best, then we have harvest time. And that's working with others, working for others, all of God's people, doing it together for Jesus. For bringing everyone back to the Lord, back to God. Now in the gospel today, a couple of things got my attention. One is from the fig tree, learn its lessons. Well, we remember about the fig tree in the other gospel. What happens? The fig tree doesn't bear fruit. And so the fig tree is cursed. And it withers, and it dies. The point of that parable is, when we are in the presence of God Almighty, when we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, face to face, we are to bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit at that time, when else would we be able to bear fruit for the Lord? If we don't do it in His presence, we're going to wither and die. So we are to be aware of God's presence and respond and bear fruit for Him. Then the next part, as soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now we know the changes in the seasons. Heck, even after, right after Thanksgiving, next day you walk into Kmart, it's Christmas carols. You know, it's like there's a change. We go from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Well, with the seasons, what happens? All of a sudden the days get shorter. We know that the seasons are changing. In springtime, what happens? The buds start blooming. We see little crocus. We see the grass kind of perking up a little, you know, looking up to the sun, saying, oh my goodness, you're back, that's good. So we see the changes. Well, what God wants from us this Advent in all time, not just Advent, but all time, is for us to understand and know Him like we know the seasons. Be aware of the changes. Be aware of His presence. God wants us to know Him as well as we know anything else, even more than what's on the earth. That's what God expects, and that's what he deserves. And then also that Jesus is coming near. Be aware of that. Know that Jesus is coming, and we're expecting him. Also, you know how we experience fall, winter, spring, and summer? God wants us to experience him in his fullness, in each and every season, in each and every way. The next part that I like is where Jesus said, beware. So this is a little bit of a warning, but it's like, beware. Keep alert. Stay awake. Yes, you can fall asleep during the sermon. Yes, you can yawn, but for Jesus, you've got to stay awake for Jesus. He's much more interesting. And then he goes on to say, for you do not know when the time is coming. And what's he referring to? The sentence before that says, the Son of Man is coming in the clouds. He says, it's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work. So each of us have our own work. So what's the warning? Are we supposed to live in fear? No. But we're supposed to live in a way that it doesn't matter when Jesus comes back. Because we'll be prepared. We'll be ready. We'll be alert. So it doesn't matter when God comes. I always ask him, come before the sermon. Come before the sermon. Not after the sermon, or wait till another time. You know, but we're to live our lives in a way, in his way, that it really doesn't matter when Jesus comes. Because if we are ready, and you can take a look at the bulletin board because we changed it, we are living in a life that's prepared. Prepared meaning our desire to want to know and to love God, to want to actually live our lives with God, and then be hopeful. What are we hopeful for? What are we hopeful for? Who is our sure hope? Jesus. Jesus came, and he died for us, and he has saved us. That's all the hope that we need. And then joyful, be joyful, grateful for all that we have, all that we have. And then also be hopeful and joyful and grateful because we can accept the gift that's promised to us. It's not an iffy gift. It's given to each and every one of us, eternal life. And then we can be loved. Above all, we know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but above all, God is love. And if we love God, we are to love him and all other people. And where do we get this love from? Did we come up with it on our own? No, it's a response because God initiated the relationship with us first. He loved us first, so we respond with love. And then I did get a giggle because over the last couple of weeks we've heard the idea or the word response a lot. How do we respond? By being generous, by being forgiving, by being repentant, having a response of being aware and wanting to know God, and then doing, having a loving, working action by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Old Testament, when I read that, and I'm going to end with this story, I just can't not read this story. It says, I think Isaiah said, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. So I have this story that I found, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, hopefully not too many times. So it's called the crack pot. Once upon a time, there was a man whose job was to bring water from the stream to his master's house. The man carried the water from the stream in two clay pots. He hung the pots on each end of a pole, which he carried across his shoulders to and from the stream many times during the day. One of the clay pots was perfect, absolutely perfect in every way for its purpose. The other pot was exactly like the first one, but it had a crack in it. and it leaked. It wasn't perfect. When the water bearer reached his master's house, the perfect pot was always full, and the cracked pot was always half full. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, and it boasted loudly. But it also criticized the cracked pot for its failures, not so perfect, and reminded it, that cracked pot, that despite its efforts, the water bearer could only deliver half a pot of water due to his cracks. The poor cracked pot was ashamed of his imperfections. He realized that he wasn't perfect and was miserable that it could only accomplish half of what it was supposed to be and do. One day, the cracked pot spoke to the water bearer. I want to apologize to you because of my cracked side. I've only been able to deliver half of the water to your master's house. And you don't get the full value from your efforts. The water bearer smiled on the cracked pot. And in his compassion, he said, as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. Indeed, as they climbed the path from the river to the master's mansion, the cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful flowers along the one side of the path, and it felt somewhat brighter. But when they reached their destination and the water in the half-empty pot was poured out, his sadness returned. Thank you for trying to cheer me up with the beautiful flowers, water bearer, the pot spoke. But I still must apologize for my failings and my failure. The water bearer said, dear pot, you haven't understood what I've been trying to show you. Did you notice that the flowers only grew on your side of the path? That's because of your crack. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day as we walk by from the stream, from the water that leaks from your pot, that has watered them. I could have got a new pot, but I preferred to gather the flowers and with them to bless many, many tables. Above all, we are to know that we're all cracked pots, but God loves us, and he can use each and every one of us in his way. But we also must realize we always need God's love and his help as we work with and for him. Amen.